through 19. I'm reading from the NIV. The Apostle Paul writes this: "For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, in light of what Christ has done for us, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That's our relationship with the Father through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, those who have believed the gospel, the church of Jesus Christ, he's committed to us as Christians the message of reconciliation. You know, our nation has been in a bit of turmoil lately. It seems like every time you put the news on, there's another story of racial tension in our country at this time. It's been a crazy year. Last fall, of course, there were the riots in Ferguson, Missouri, surrounding the Michael Brown situation, the case there. And then again in Baltimore just a few months ago with the Freddie Gray case there in Baltimore. And then there's been the racially motivated retaliation shootings against police officers, even here in New York. It's been terrible. And of course, our nation is still mourning this recent tragedy of these shootings of nine saints of God gunned down in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. And it's kind of like, what is going on in our country? It feels like we're back in the 1960s or something, right? People are wondering what is happening. If you watch the news, people are kind of dissecting this. What's going on in our nation? And, you know, what's the conversation we need to have? And people are looking for answers for why. And I don't claim to have all the answers today. Number one, I can say this. If you know anything about the scriptures and what the Bible teaches, people are broken. We live in a sinful, broken world. That explains a lot of it. But, you know, the thing I want to key on today that really kind of resonates with our scripture is our perception. I think a lot of the problem stems from our perception of how we see people, especially how we see people who are different from us. You know, on Facebook, I see a lot of people chiming in, giving their opinions, and I've noticed that every time news breaks, I have friends, Christians, who are black, white, you know, different ethnicities, who look at the same stories and see it from a very different perspective. I mean, the very same story, people who are even Christians and tend to comment on things certain ways and see it very differently. You can definitely tell there's a difference in perception in the way people are seeing these situations. In fact, I was reading an article by an African-American pastor named Stacy Hilliard, who's also a former police officer. Very interesting perspective for him to weigh in on this. And he talked about the problem specifically in Ferguson, Missouri. And he says it's not merely racial, it's a perception issue. Listen to this quote. He says, "While racism does exist among police officers, I don't think it's the driving force behind these tragic shootings. The driving force behind these incidents is not racism, it's perspective. The varying perspectives at the heart of this tragedy are based in large part on false perceptions. Too many encounters between young African-American males and white law enforcement officers are rooted in false perceptions that have created an unhealthy perspective on both sides. I believe that much of this is due to conversations that were meant to serve as solutions being centered on the wrong focal point, and that is race." So he really points to the issue of a perception problem. Now listen, this isn't a political message this morning. This is a gospel message this morning. I want to share from you from the gospel. I want to talk to you about how God literally changes the way we see each other. How, and we're going to see how through the gospel it really changes the way we see Christ, but in effect that also changes the way we see people. So this isn't political. This is about the gospel. This isn't Pastor Jeremy weighing in on either side. I'm on team Jesus. I'm for team gospel. I'm for looking at what does the gospel of Jesus Christ have to say. And so that's what we want to talk about today. But here's the truth. All of us can be guilty of having the wrong perceptions of people, especially people who are different from us. You know, it's just very natural for us to have a capacity to do that. It doesn't just mean ethnically. It can be socioeconomic. It can be somebody from a different neighborhood. It can be people that we are kind of getting to know at work that we thought one thing about them, then we find out something else completely. We can have this capacity to kind of look at people and kind of make some judgments, form some opinions based on our perception of who they are. Last summer, we were taking the boys down to see the Statue of Liberty, and we were coming back. We were on the subway heading back to Grand Central, and you know, we're on a crowded subway, and this Muslim family were sitting next to us, and they were very kind when they saw that we had three boys. They got up and made some room for us. And the lady was in full burqa, you know, full headdress and everything, the black suit where you could just see her eyes. And Michael, at the time, was only two, and he wasn't used to seeing that kind of thing. And he really didn't even notice the lady when she was sitting next to us. But when she moved across from us, she really caught his attention, and he was staring at her. And he started yelling, "Darth Vader! Darth Vader! Darth Vader!" And we were like, "Baby, no!" And it didn't matter how much we tried to explain. In his little mind, that was the association. Here's somebody dressed in black. It's Darth Vader, man! Good thing, you know, Michael, like, he probably really couldn't understand what he was saying, but we knew what he was saying, and we were trying, we didn't know whether to die laughing or die from embarrassment. It was just one of those moments, you know, so it cracked us up, but, you know, just a slight moment of political incorrectness from our two-year-old at the time, but, you know, in his little perception, that's what he saw, and we laugh at that, but, you know, sometimes we see people differently for who they really are. Sometimes we see people, and it's easy to form an opinion, a judgment, and we have a certain perception of them until we get to know them, until we get to know their story, until we get to know who they really are, their personality, their values, their merits, who they are. It's easy to kind of just size people up at times by the way they look, maybe by their socioeconomic status, maybe based on their looks, how good looking they are. Come on, I know you're more spiritual than me, but I can look at people that way and make some quick judgments. You know, without even realizing it, our perception of people can be based on these kind of surface level things. All of us have the capacity to do that. I think especially living here in the Metro New York area, we're kind of set up for that because our culture here kind of teaches us to, like, put people in the boxes they belong in, right? Like, when we meet people, we kind of instinctively know where they belong. Like, they're country club, you know, and these people are suburban, and these people are city, and these people are this borough, and this person is middle class, and this person is illegal, and this person is this. Really, isn't that true? We kind of can tend to categorize people that way. And there's a whole set of judgments and just thoughts about people, you know, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Jewish. We have so many categories here in New York, right? And sometimes we kind of live that way, kind of just kind of boxing people into where they belong. And listen, here's the deal. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to recognize our ethnicity, our heritage. Come on, how many of you know that plays a big, important role in our lives? Who you are, you know, if you're Puerto Rican, you're Puerto Rican, baby. If you're Italian, you're Italian. If you're Indian, thank God for the Indians. We wouldn't have a worship band without the Indians. I thank God for the Indians. Come on. You know, listen, your ethnicity, it informs who you are. I can tell you, the barbecues and the parties at my house have gotten a lot better since the Latinos started joining our church. I'll tell you what, man. Some good food at my house, some beans and rice, and but you know those things are to be celebrated. Those parts of your identity are to be celebrated and to be affirmed. I'm not saying we have to walk around pretending like we don't have a last name and we don't have a skin color. Okay, those things are there. They shape you. They're part of who you are. But here's what I am saying today: we live in a broken world and we have a sinful nature, and we have to realize that sometimes that perception can be wrong. Sometimes we have a tendency to be tempted towards judgmentalism. Sometimes we have a tendency to size people up based on who they are. I'm not just talking about, you know, ethnicity today. You might be the least racist person in the world today and think, "Pastor Jeremy, this message has nothing to do with me." Listen, this message isn't just about race. It can be about socioeconomics. It can just be about forming judgments about people before we've really had a chance to get to know them that well. Maybe somebody of a different religion. Maybe somebody from a different part of town. I don't know. Maybe somebody at work that you thought was something, and then as you get to know them better, now you understand them better. You can get along with them. There's a lot of implications here that we're talking about today. But our culture can shape our perception in such a way that we don't see people's value because they're made in God's image. That we don't see the image of God in people. And while ethnicity is to be celebrated, it can also be a cause for pride, for selfish pride. In fact, in the scripture, that was a big problem. Jew, Gentile, getting along, forming one new church. That was there were a lot of barriers there because there was pride on both sides. And Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, broke down the barrier, broke down the wall that separates us. That really goes for everybody. That's a principle that includes all ethnicities. One thing I love about this church is it got multicultural from day one. And we want to maintain that because it's about people coming together who have one thing in common that's greater than anything that separates us, and that is the grace of Jesus Christ. Come on, how many of you are with me this morning? The grace of Jesus Christ is the great equalizer. Every one of us needs it. Every one of us needs it. Sign me up for God's grace every day. That is the common basis that brings us together. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, fat, skinny, rich, poor. I don't care who you are. Every one of us, the grace of Jesus Christ is the equalizer. It's the basis that we come together on to form this church, that the Church of Jesus Christ is built on. And so I want to talk to you about how the gospel changes things. Here's the good news this morning. We've talked about the problem. We've talked about kind of our human nature and the tendency that we can find ourselves in. But the good news is the gospel brings healing to our hearts. As we look at our text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 19, the Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth. And just to give you a little context here, he's really talking about salvation. He's talking about the new covenant that we have in Christ. He's talking about the saving work of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the hope of resurrection. He's kind of giving them the big picture. And then he launches into these few verses on how we've been reconciled and given the ministry of reconciliation. So just kind of keep that in your mind, that this is all in the context of the gospel. Let's look at these verses again, starting with verse 14. It says, "For Christ's love compels us." Some translations you have might say controls us. It's the motivating factor. "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died." In other words, we all identify with the death of Jesus Christ, because listen to what verse 15 says. "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." There's the game changer, right? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. The motivating factor of our lives becomes the love of Christ. And then listen to verse 16. So from now on, in light of what we just read about, in light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, in light of all that Jesus did for us when he died for us on the cross, when he was resurrected, in light of all that, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So we don't look at people the same way we did from a natural human tendency. That's what that worldly point of view means, how we just look at people naturally, what we're naturally inclined to see in people, how we're naturally inclined to perceive people. We don't see people that way anymore, because verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." Your translation might say it's a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. See, we have a new identity in Christ. Jesus didn't just come to save you from your sins. He came to make you into something. I like to say it that way. Jesus didn't just come to save you from something. He came to make you into something. We're being made into sons and daughters of the Most High God. God is shaping us. He's forming us. He's making us into a new identity. So we can't go back to seeing people the way we used to see people, because we're new creations in Christ Jesus. It changes our hearts, and that changes our perspective. Changes everything. I like the way the Message paraphrase puts verses 16 and 17. It says, "We don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with Christ gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, and a new life burgeons." I love that. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. See, before we knew Christ, we saw him from an earthly point of view. Maybe we knew about him, but we didn't quite know much of him as the Son of God. Maybe we knew him as the Son of God, but we didn't live a life that reflected that. Maybe some of you at this time, you're still exploring faith. You're not quite sure what to believe about Jesus. But Paul says that when we recognize who Christ is, we have a revelation that he's the Son of God. It changes things. It changes our perspective. It changes our hearts. It changes the way we see people. Now follow the Apostle Paul's progression this morning. Verse 14 tells us that it's Christ's love that compels us. Christ's love is the motivator now. So God's love for us is expressed through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The gospel is the backdrop to this whole portion of scripture that we're reading. And then Christ's love becomes our motivation. It becomes the motivating force of our lives. And it changes the way we see everything. It changes our perspective. And so we no longer see people the way we used to. Why? Because we know that in Christ, God can make anyone new. God can make anyone new because he did it for us. Come on, this is a humbling thing. You know what this means? This is what this means. We recognize what God did for us, and we know that if God can change us, If God can change our hearts, if God can save us, if God can make us into sons and daughters, if God can give us a new identity, if he can save us from our brokenness and our sinful habits and our tendencies and our baggage, then we know he can do it for anybody. Are you with me this morning? It's recognizing what Christ has done in our hearts and our lives. And so now we know how God sees us in Christ. Now we know how God sees us through the lens of grace. And so we can see other people that way because of the revelation of what Jesus has done for us. The gospel brings reconciliation because it changes the way we see people. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down so that's really the core of the message. The gospel brings reconciliation because it changes the way we see people. See, that's the part that our culture is struggling to understand. That's the part that our secular media and culture and all of the analysts can't figure out. Why are we still having these problems after all these generations? Didn't we elect a black president? Didn't we already have the civil rights movement? Don't we already know? Haven't we progressed enough to a place where people should be getting over this stuff? Why are we still having these problems? Because people aren't dealing with the root of the problem is people's sinful hearts, sinful natures, sinful perceptions. And the solution isn't just being nice and holding hands and singing Kumbaya and We Are the World and lighting candles. No, no, no. The solution is Jesus Christ who changes our hearts. And it's the revelation of his grace that changes the way we see each other. So we no longer see people the way we used to because we're compelled, we're motivated, we're controlled by the love of Christ and because we know what God has done for us and we know that we did nothing to deserve his grace. Let's look at verses 18 through 19. It says, all this is from God. Paul's reminding us, this isn't anything of ourselves. This is the gift of God. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Last week we talked about mission in our series on becoming the church. We talked about how God didn't just save us for us, but God's given us the gift of the gospel to share it with others. We really see it here. God didn't just reconcile you to himself and stop there, but as a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's given you also the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, the very thing that Jesus Christ did for you in making way for you to have peace with the Father, restoring friendship and harmony with the Father. He's given you the ministry of saying, go out and do that for others. Go out and make a way. Go out and be a bridge. Help people see their need for God in your life, in your testimony, in your witness. Help people see their connection and their need for God in their lives. The message puts it this way, verse 18, all this comes from God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. Man, you can't put it any more plainly than that, can you? See, listen to me. The gospel not only has implications for our relationship with God the Father, with God. Obviously, it does. First and foremost, the saving work of Jesus Christ brings us back into a relationship with the Father. But it also has very important implications for how we relate to each other. Here's why. See, our sinful nature not only sets us up for broken relationships with God, we know that. If you've been around the church any time, if you've been in the scripture for any length of time, you know that our sinful nature, we as human beings have a tendency for brokenness, for sinful decisions. And then Jesus gives us that new nature that we read about. But here's the thing. That sinful nature that we have also sets us up for a broken tendency with people. A tendency for broken relationships with people. Come on, how many of you know that's true? Because people fail us. Because people cheat us. Because people do us wrong. Because fathers walk out on families and people split up and people aren't there for you and people let you down and people hurt each other and people take advantage of each other and bosses manipulate. And are you with me? Do you live in the same world I live? This is the normal experience in humanity. This happens all the time, right? Happens all the time. I can't tell you how often I find myself praying with somebody who's having trouble at work because they have a supervisor or a boss or somebody who's just putting them through a hard time. And because our tendency, the natural tendency for human beings is broken relationships with each other. And so just like God brings healing to our relationship between us and him. He also wants to put a new heart in us in the way we relate to other people, healing in our relationships with each other. And man, does he want that to be so true in the church of Jesus Christ. If that's true anywhere, he wants the church to be a living, breathing picture of what reconciliation looks like. Because what happens is when you get people from all of these different backgrounds, all of these different ethnicities, all of these different socioeconomic classes, all of these different walks of life, and people start coming together who have had an experience and a relationship with God, restored and reconciled, and they start coming together and loving each other, and they have this new identity where we realize that what we have in common is greater than anything that separates you. And actually, if I know Jesus Christ and you know Jesus Christ and you are a son or a daughter, we have this new identity, we actually have the most important thing in common, greater than anything that separates us. And I may not have known you from Jack, and you may have a different ethnicity than me, and you may be from a different part of the city from me, or a different socioeconomic, but what we have in common in the gospel is actually more important than any of that stuff. And you know what happens? It becomes a witness. It becomes a witness to this culture that we live in, this fragmented, broken culture where people are used to just hurting each other, judging each other, sizing each other up real quick. When we come together in that way, it becomes a living, breathing picture and a witness to this reconciliation that God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's really good news. Jesus came to change the way we see people, that we see people through the lens of grace. We see people through the lens of grace. Listen, I'm blind as a bat. There's a reason I have glasses on right now. And I'll tell you, I wear contacts a lot of times during the week. You know, listen, I can't see anything until I get either my glasses or I get my contacts in these eyes. And it changes my perspective greatly when I have my contacts in. I can see much better. I can see clearly. And what happens is grace gives us a whole different set of lenses to see people through. You know, for you, it might not be racial at all. It might just be somebody that it's just really, really easy to have some judgmental opinions about them. You know, it's just been really easy to not want to get to know them at all because of what you see. You kind of have them in that list, you know, the people who are over here. Come on, the people in that list over there, they get the hand, you know, because we don't even really want to find out who they really are because they're just kind of in that category. But see, grace changes the way we see people because we know how God has seen us in Christ. We know how God has seen us in Christ, and we remember that. So with the Holy Spirit's help, we see people the way God sees us. I want to give you a few practical application points here for you really practical people who have to get a few points because you're disappointed if you leave and you don't get any points. Where the note takers at, okay? I'm going to give you a few things today, just a few practical things for cultivating a grace-filled view of people. How many of you could use a more grace-filled view of other people? How many of you commute at all in the New York metro area? You could use some more grace toward other people so you don't have road rage. Let's look at this. A few practical applications for cultivating a grace-filled perspective or perception. Number one, repent of any sinful attitudes you might be harboring toward others. Repent of any sinful attitudes you might be harboring toward others. You know, the problem doesn't start with everybody else. It starts with us getting our hearts right. And I'll tell you, that's really why brokenness perpetuates itself. People are looking for all the answers, but everybody thinks the problem lies somewhere else. Everybody else thinks that the judgment and the racism and the hypocrisy and all that stuff lies somewhere else. The truth is, actually, if you understand the gospel is you don't have it all together to come to God. You come to God broken as you are. You come to God with all of your negative thinking, your hang-ups, your sinful ways, and the Lord works in you, and he fixes that stuff. So guess what? We got to keep going back to him and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and fix some of that stuff. So sometimes we have to repent. We have to repent of any sinful attitudes that we've been harboring toward other people, especially people who are different from us. And maybe we were raised with certain attitudes. Maybe we were raised with certain jokes about other ethnicities that flew around in our houses. And some of that kind of seeped down inside of us. And we never realized how much it had an influence on us. And you may not even consider yourself to be that kind of person, to be racist in any way. But if you look back about it, wow, I realized that my grandparents and my parents really made comments about those other people. And I grew up hearing that all the time. And maybe I formulated some of that seeped into my heart. And so we want to repent and put our hearts open before God and say, God, we don't want to harbor any of that stuff in our hearts at all. It's really simple. It starts with repentance. Number two, search your heart to see if there's someone you need to forgive. This doesn't have to be somebody different from you. This could be family member, friend, whoever, because we're talking about God restoring relationship. We're talking about reconciliation. I'm telling you, it can be one person that you need to forgive that can unlock the way you see everybody. It's amazing how unforgiveness, it's amazing how hurt, how bitterness can color the way you see everything. Going back to that lenses illustration, it can throw you off. It can be one person who did you wrong that you got to release that thing. You got to let go of that thing, and it's going to change the way you see everybody else, especially if it was a major relationship in your life, especially if it was a parent or a family member or somebody who hurt you, did you wrong. That can really color the way you see everybody. Before you know it, intrinsically, without even realizing, you don't trust people. You don't trust people, or you don't let people get close to you. You don't let people in. Why? Because there's somebody you need to forgive. You need to release that thing and receive healing in your heart. Are you with me this morning? All right, number three, I'm making sure you guys aren't, I know those seats are really cozy. I sat right up about there where Jim and Sue are sitting this week. I took the boys to see a Disney movie, and it was here in Theater One. And I thought, man, these seats are cozy. I was like, I better preach a little more excited, man. You could really get cushy in these things and just kind of nod right off. Stay awake now. All right, number three, get to know someone who represents a different culture or perspective than you grew up with. Get to know someone who represents a different culture or perspective than you grew up. You might say, Pastor Jeremy, it's the New York area. You kidding me? There's different cultures in every direction. We all grew up with somebody different from us. But yeah, maybe you really need to get to know somebody. Maybe there's a certain segment of the population or somebody that you have trouble relating to. And a lot of times, this is what I find out. I see people writing all this stuff about different people on Facebook. And I wonder, like, do you know anybody from that particular culture or that particular political party that you just have all figured out? Like, why don't you actually make friends with somebody? Listen to me. We need to hear this, because sometimes this isn't even just a racial thing. This can be somebody who thinks differently than you politically. And all of a sudden, we think we have the right to just go on Facebook and just cream the other side. Listen, get to know somebody from that perspective. You know their story. Maybe get to know how their values got shaped that way. Know how they became to think that way. It doesn't mean it's going to change the way you think. It doesn't mean you're going to have to agree with them. But what happens is you'll get to know them, and it'll humanize them. It's really easy to use all of these labels. What happens is when we label people, it places separation between us and them. And it's a subtle way of, like, dehumanizing this person. Like, this person's a liberal, or this person's this ethnicity, or this person's that. And you know, whatever it is, pick the tag. But you know what it does? It puts a distance between us and people. But when you get to know somebody, when you get to know somebody's story, you see things differently. You see things differently. And sometimes that person might be a Christian. They come from a very different political view than you, or they come from a very different view of how they see faith or denomination, whatever. And we need to get to know each other's story sometime. Get to know that person. Get to know who they really are. And they can really change things. And then pray for them. And ask God to help you to love them the way He loves them. I'm not, like I said, some people, you're never going to reach an agreement. Maybe you don't need to agree with the views they hold, okay? But you need to love them and pray for them and get to know their story better. Number four, thank God daily for His grace. Thank God daily for His grace. You know, this may be like the no-brainer, the really simple one. But see, as you cultivate a thankfulness and a dependence on God's grace, it's out of that that you see people differently. Remember, we said this is rooted in the gospel. This is rooted in the gospel. Pastor Jeremy didn't preach this to you today. I want you to be a nice person and try to see people differently. Go get them, Tiger. You can do it. No, that's not what we said today. Because people are mean. People cut you off in traffic. People are rude, okay? And if all you do is just try to do that and be nice, it ain't going to last very long. How many of you know that's the truth, right? People can just be nasty, you know? But listen, it's only the grace of Jesus Christ, right? It's only the revelation of the gospel that can change our hearts toward other people, that can change the way we see people. Because the truth is, some people flat out are jerks. Some people flat out are the negative things that we see about them. But the gospel is so powerful. What's so strong about the gospel, what's so strong about what God did for us, is it literally changes us, because God gives us this perspective to see that, God, this is what you did for me in Christ. I didn't deserve what you did for me. I didn't deserve your grace. I didn't deserve reconciliation. I didn't deserve redemption. I didn't deserve you taking my brokenness and healing me and putting me back together. God, you keep putting up with me, even in spite of my flaws, even in spite of my failures. God, I've been a Christian for years, and you keep putting up with me. Now, see, I know you're more spiritual than me, but I'm a work in progress. My wife would say amen. She'd say amen. Okay, lighten up, guys. Come on, lighten up. But it's realizing that God keeps seeing us through the eyes of grace. He keeps seeing us through the eyes of grace. He keeps receiving us by his grace, and it's changing us, and we're growing, and we're getting better because God keeps being gracious with us. And it's out of that perspective that we look at other people. And here's the thing. What's powerful is, first of all, you see them the way God sees them with the help of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to give you something that's even more powerful than that. You know what's even more powerful than that? The only thing that's more powerful than that is when you recognize and you see them the way God sees you. That's what really changes things. When you don't just look at them and say, God, you must really love them. You must really care for them. But you look at them and you realize, God, you see them the way you see me. And boy, we can really feel a lot of compassion for ourselves. We got a whole lot of room for grace and forgiveness. And God, give me one more do-over for myself. And see what happens as the Holy Spirit, he works in our lives and he changes our perception. He helps us literally to see people with the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that brings reconciliation. That brings healing. That restores relationships between people. And so I want to close this morning by just saying this to you again. We can't bring reconciliation to people until we allow the gospel to change the way we see people, until we allow the gospel to change our hearts. Paul said, you've been given this ministry of reconciliation, but it's because you've been reconciled to God that you can actually become a witness. Later on in verse 20, we don't have time to get to the rest of the text, but it says, as you live this way, verse 20 says, literally, God, it's as if God makes his appeal through you. It's as if God makes his appeal through you to others. Be reconciled. Your life becomes an advertisement, a billboard of how God's reconciled you, and you're able to offer that to other people. I want to close with a story, if the worship team would come back and prepare. A few months ago, I was at a pastor's meeting, and I heard a pastor share a story about it was a pastor in Mississippi who took over a congregation, and he intentionally wanted it to be multicultural. He intentionally wanted his church to be a place of reconciliation, a place where people black and white and different backgrounds could feel at home, and he wanted his church to be a symbol of that. And he was a few years into pastoring this congregation. He wasn't getting anywhere with this whole reconciliation thing. There was still division and walls and mistrust, and his church just wasn't, like, you know, accomplishing this thing that he had set out for it to accomplish. And finally, some people who had been in the church for years came to him, and he talked to him. He said, what's the problem here? What's the history here? Why are we having so much, you know, so many issues with unity and people coming together? And they said, well, Pastor, we know one place you can start. There's a tree out behind the church that's been there for hundreds of years, and black men were lynched and hung from that tree. And there's literally a symbol of hatred looming in the backyard of the church. Well, the pastor knew what he needed to do. He set about the work right away. He cut that tree down. He cut that tree down as a symbol of healing and forgiveness, and it was a beautiful step. It was a wonderful thing, but the thing is, there was still a stump there. A stump still remained. The tree was gone, and it said a lot, but it still took a long time, and eventually they had to get that stump removed because the stump still remained. This is what I want to say today. This is, here we are in the year 2015 in our country. We've made all of this progress, and we've had the civil rights movement, we've elected a black president, and it's like people know what's right. People know that human beings have dignity. It doesn't matter, you know, how much money you have or what country you come from or what ethnicity you are or whatever. We know that people have dignity. So why do we have problems seeing each other for who we are? Why do we have problems with seeing people and their value and their character? It's because perhaps there is a stump that remains in our hearts. And so today we say, God, remove the stump from our heart. God, remove anything. God, I know you've saved me. God, I know you've worked in me. God, I know you've changed me. I know what the gospel says, but God, I don't want there to even be a stump in my heart that affects the way I see people. God, change me. God, give me eyes to see people the way you see them. Not just different people, but people in every direction. People who get on your nerves. People who try your patience. People from a different political persuasion. That person who comes to mind in a sermon like this. God, help me. Help me, God, to see them the way you see them. God, take the stump out of my heart. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you stand with me? The truth is, we can't affect change in this culture. We can't affect change as the Church of Jesus Christ until we allow change to start with us. It starts with us acknowledging, God, I need you to change my heart. God, I need you. I need a fresh perspective from you, from your Holy Spirit, of how you see people, of how you see people around me. God, help me to see them the way you see them. And God, help me to see them with the very same grace by which you saw me when I was far away from you, and by which you see me today. That's our prayer today. And so I want to pray with you as I pray for you.